Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hey everybody, this is Theo Fleury, former Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist, and you're listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk. And if you don't listen, I might have to come down there and cross-check you.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. The regime clearly knows they cannot repeat their criminality of the 2020 election in the same way. So they are resorting to the tactics of a banana republic and trying to imprison the opposition front runner on trumped up charges. What will happen to our nation if we do not condemn this? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has also been a columnist for the Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media, and she can be read at the Daily Caller. Diana is also a popular analyst and contributor on both radio and TV. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Yay! Hi, Audrey.
Well, it's we're back at it again, and they never leave us wanting, do they, for insanity?
No.
But, you know, I think we really need to lead with this. I mean, we have unfortunately, a plethora of people that are supposed to be serving us, and they're making quite a bit of money, more than the average American, in Congress. The GOP is basically doing nothing. And I think there's a lot more behind it than them just not acting, isn't there?
Right. The mistake we make is believing that Congress is actually there to be one of the co-equal branches of government. There, I said it. Congress, we're supposed to believe that something's supposed to happen on Capitol Hill, but in fact, the design has become such, been subverted, perverted, where it is simply a vent. It's simply a venting mechanism so that we think something is going to happen, but nothing ever will. And we watch carefully, and we hope, and we support certain, quote, firebrands, and we work for a Republican majority, etc. And then what happens? Nothing. Jim Jordan runs around in shirt sleeves and talks about weaponization committee, and nothing happens. And here's the problem. We have lost our sovereign power, and the people in Washington, all branches, are part of this fake. It's a fake.
It is.
And this is what's so hard to wrap your head around, but basically, don't be gulled, because at this point, all you're going to get is a lot of noise. And the reason we can know this with complete assurance, it's like the Wizard of Oz. Remember how Dorothy, the whole way through Oz, always had the power to go home if she only knew what it was. She had to tap her heels together three times and say, there's no place like home.
Right.
Similarly, Congress, every single day of the week, has power to bring the swamp to its knees. It has the power to overturn these corrupt courts. It has the power to stop this persecution of President Trump and the January 6th political prisoners. Tomorrow, all they have to do is defund. They have the power of the purse, and they will never use it, ever.
That needs to be known, what you just said. They have the power of the purse. The American people don't know this. That
right.
They can now, they can stop funding the FBI today.
Tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Could they do that? They can do that.
Yeah. They can do that. They can just simply stop funding things and make our protests known, make the government come back into balance. This is insane. Instead, you have hearings,
endless
investigations, endless, and then you get whitewashed reports at the end. I think I first, you know, it takes a long time sometimes in life to wake up, right?
Yeah.
I would say that I truly understood this for the first time, and I'm embarrassed to say, but I think it probably was with the Benghazi committee about 10 years ago when I really thought something might come of it. And when nothing did, it was kind of like a real slap in the face in terms of understanding nothing was supposed to come of it.
Yeah.
And then over time, you learn. I write American Betrayal. I learn about subversion. More recently, I've been learning about this other strain of subversion, which is all going toward this new world order, the same place, really, as communism. You know, with the conflict with capitalism, it's never going to be the same, you know, one pure, the other pure. It's going to be something, a synthesis, as they call it, a convergence, the new world order. In this same system, the people are dirt and the state is supreme. The individual is subjugated to the state. This is the whole thesis behind this whole Hegelian system, which really we function in. And when I was listening to Bill Barr recently fulminating about President Trump daring to think that he had any right to his papers when they belong to the state. I thought,
wow,
oh my gosh, he's a Hegelian New World Order just advertisement. That is it. The state is supreme. The individual is nothing. And basically, we are constantly being kind of like Punch and Judy show distracted by various fake conflicts between what we think is right and what we think is left. But it's always this effort to control the people and move us closer and closer into this hideous servitude that we are really being pressed by at this point.
Well, you were so right, by the way, in the past on Bill Barr. You nailed it.
I'm not that great person who starts like William Sapphire used to have that annual game at New Year's to make predictions. I'm terrible at predictions. But this was easy. It wasn't a prediction. All you had to do was look at his record. He was always a deep state, turns out Hegelian goon, and that's what he is. and that's a lot of people understand that now, but it's too late. It's like all of these things, you know, the truth comes out in these drips and drabs after the point at which it actually could have been useful, could have been ammunition, could have been a change agent. Isn't that the cliche? And it's in no way satisfying to finally come to an understanding after the battle, that particular battle, for example, with Barr in office is over. And I would like to point out what something Barr admitted to, which I guess we know just by virtue of the timeline.
Right.
We've been talking a lot about the FBI 1023 document that the Comer Committee, and the Comer Committee is doing very good investigative work. I don't mean to condemn them in my blanket damnation of the Congress, but I'm very grateful for what they have put together through an investigation. So I'm not saying all investigations are pointless, but that particular document, as I'm sure your listeners know, has been this bone of contention. And the Congress was finally given, the committee was given a look at it. This was such a, again, they're supposed to be co-equal branches. Congress should be able to subpoena a document and get it, but it was a big wrangle. There was a threat of holding FBI Director Wray in contempt of Congress. I wish they would do it anyway. Yeah. Maybe they will. But he lets them look at it in the secure room in Congress.
That's crazy.
In the SCIF, lets them look.
Yeah.
And it turns out that this, it's a declassified document. It's already been declassified. It turns out he actually, Senator Grassley later tells us, redacted parts of it. So they didn't even get the full look. Senator Grassley has seen almost the entire document with the exception of a few, I think he said half phrases or half words even. So he knows what it says. And this particular document is so incendiary in terms of evidence that President, usurper Biden and his horrible.
I call
son,
him resident. resident
yeah,
Biden.
actually accepted millions of dollars in exchange for American foreign policy when Biden was vice president. This is so incendiary, but this isn't even getting any coverage, right? This
doesn't
get coverage. But Barr revealed to us when he was fulminating against Trump and the supremacy of the state, he actually revealed that he was completely versed in this document from 2020 that had actually directed that it be fully developed and then essentially deep sixed. It was sort of, he used the word farmed out, was the phrase, to the Delaware prosecutor's office, where nothing happened. And we only know about it because of whistleblowers that went to Congress. So Barr, once again, it's another strike against Barr and a notch in our own understanding of him as an enforcer, as a protector of what was to be the Biden coup. And of course, you know, people should also remember, he was very busy writing a lot of the initial Biden executive orders that started tying us down and repressing us. Those were authored under Bill Barr's aegis.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I want to make clear that your caveats about Bill Barr was because you researched his background. Mm-hmm. And
his record.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to make sure I let it be known. I wasn't saying you were predicting anything. You actually looked at, that's what I'm curious about. Another individual who I always felt stunk, because he now showed himself to be who I thought he was. He was so close to Trump. He seemed like he was loyal to Trump. Who am I talking about?
Oh, I bet you're talking about Michael Pompeo.
Boom. There it is.
Yeah.
I thought he was, a true supporter of the president, and he turns out not to be, does he?
Right. No, he's just another one of these, apparently, sycophants as well. I always thought he was a rotter. I was not impressed with Pompeo. He seemed very impressed with himself.
Yeah.
But now we find out from Tucker Carlson that part of the problem with Trump is this coterie of sycophants that clustered around him. And the more they hated him, the more they flattered him. And apparently it was embarrassing and difficult and uncomfortable to see Pompeo's flattery and servile behavior toward Trump when Trump was in the Oval Office. And so, you know, these are the kinds of people that then are the snake in the grass that pop their head up and start this attack on this particular case.
Yeah. When it comes to President Trump, there's one area that someone needs to explain to him, which he may not. I mean, he's a brilliant man, but he does not understand this. Flattery is evil. Flattery is always manipulative. It is not genuine in its compliment. It is something that's meant to manipulate. And so if he needs to wake up to that, because these people, I mean, he's complimented Gavin Newsom for saying something nice to him. Your enemy says something nice, they want something. Am I correct?
Well, it's true. It's true. And one thing people should know and may not know about Mike Pompeo that was my real kind of flag over him going back to very early days when he was CIA director for Donald Trump. Donald Trump somehow had enough wherewithal and understanding of a very complicated story that the media had done most everything it could to suppress. And this was the Julian Assange story and the Seth Rich story and the DNC server story. He actually asked NSA whistleblower William Binney to visit Pompeo, to go visit CIA Director Pompeo, to have CIA Director Pompeo have a meeting with William Binney so that William Binney could explain to him how it was that the DNC server was not, quote, hacked by Russia, according to all of the forensic evidence that he and his team had assembled. And so this you know, showed a great insight into what really was going on the part of Donald Trump, and it also showed Pompeo did nothing with it, but of course ramp up the war against Julian Assange and fold right in with the whole, quote, intelligence community concocted narrative of Trump-Russia, that essentially Russia hacked the DNC to help Donald Trump get into office. This is the underlying fake narrative that Pompeo and many other officials, including Devin Nunes, actually fell in with.
Nunes, too. I didn't know that.
Nunes, too. Well, his final report as Intelligence Committee chairman, when he was doing his investigation, actually repeats and entrenches the notion that the Russians hacked the DNC, which is it's not a detail. This is the crux of the effort to delegitimize Donald Trump's 2016 election, because we are supposed to believe that he got into the office with the help of Vladimir Putin, which is a lie. It is a slander, but it is crept into the official documents and the official record of the time in this same way, just by simply repeating it. The Durham report, by the way, does the same thing.
Wow.
The Mueller report very much did the same thing. Bill Barr, you know, made the same, put the same, you know, it added to the same falsehood. And it is kind of the what they leave to really to historians of the future, if there are historians in the future, to go back and go through these official documents. And it's going to take a smarty pants to really come up with the reality of it, because it has been so successfully made official. Which it drives me crazy, as you can tell. It's one of the things that really drives me nuts. But, you know, Pompeo's part of that and spades. And Julian Assange sits in, the Belmarsh Supermax prison in Great Britain. Still, I think he has one more appeal. He lost his last appeal to try to avoid extradition to the United States to go to that same espionage court that is convicting all the January 6 people, to try to avoid spending his life behind bars for all that he knows about the reality of the coup against Donald Trump and many, many other things.
Yeah. Oh, this, you mentioned January the 6th, and I call them the hostages. The fact that they're still looking to get people that didn't even go into the Capitol. And where is the GOP on this? I'm thinking to myself, these are your voters. These are your constituents. And you're allowing them to be abused by really communist entities within our government, and there's nothing being said. One or two people said something. That's it. Nothing.
That's it. Nothing.
How can you do this? So now, of course, communist Biden, his regime is using our agencies, which we pay, to indict President Trump, and this is the GOP frontrunner under the Espionage Act, alleging treason. This is like so surreal. These are the people committing treason, and they're accusing him of committing treason.
Right.
How are we not now a banana republic with the GOP in Congress saying nothing?
I wish we were a banana republic. With banana republic, you get sort of a sense of some very exploitable inefficiency or some big holes, or maybe you can escape. You know, this is closer to police state.
Wow.
And this is closer. I think of this as the last revolution, because there is no safe haven to go to. You know, there's no realm you can go to and breathe free at this point. It's scary everywhere. You know, your best chance is to go into whatever passes for hinterlands until the big 5G tower comes. So it's a very, very scary place we're in. And you're exactly right. And, you know, I look at these various cases, and the tragedy to me is that as far as I'm concerned, President Trump is the only citizen in this country with permission to have those documents about his person or his home or domicile or office, because he's the rightful president of the United States. These other people, these usurpers in Washington, they're the ones who are in violation of the law by trying to possess them to begin with. I mean, if you actually go back to the fact that we had a stolen election in 2020, it just doesn't make sense to make legal arguments that are just trying to say, well, he's fine under the law. It's sort of like, well, actually, the whole thing is broken. And the same is true of the January 6th people. They were protesting something extremely important to protest, and that was the fact that an audit of an election that looked extremely fraudulent, that we can all talk about various tranches of evidence suggesting that the election, proving that the election was actually fraudulent, they were protesting the failure to consider this evidence and to rubber stamp a usurper, an illegitimate or illegitimately perceived a presidency.
Yeah.
And so that actually is a wonderful, marvelous, and commendable thing to go and stand up for. And then, of course, everything else happens in terms of the setup, the frame-up, the Fedsurrection, so many, 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 many complicated things we've learned that have proven the presence and forethought and planning and conspiracy of numerous assorted law enforcement agencies, intelligence agencies, political organizations, etc., that actually made this into what it became in the media propaganda blender. So I think the hard thing for people today, but I think it's the essential thing, is you have to cling to your fix on reality. You can't let them take that away from you. You know, we're in a very perilous times, great jeopardy, honestly, we really are. But you just can't take away what you know is true.
Right.
And it's, I guess that is really, you know, something that we now understand if we look back to Galileo and other other martyrs to truth, other martyrs to belief. You really start to understand how it does come down to your individual spirit and volition and belief and what is really important, and not letting it be taken away by these what did President Trump call them? Thugs, misfits, and Marxists.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And they, well, see, if he's tried in New York City, and we have jury nullification here, so, you know, they would convict him. I really don't, because every time they do something toward him, the people rise up and his support starts. He's got more than 60% support now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where this is, where they look, they may seem confident, but the fact that they're, you know, they have it all set up that if this doesn't work, we'll charge them in Georgia, or we'll charge, you know, they here or there, because he has to answer something in Miami, I know that, but they have all these backups. Why are they so afraid of him?
Well, it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, I also wonder they can see. That they can see the reaction, and you know, how are they viewing the use of that reaction? You know, Remember Rahm Emanuel letting it slip out, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, this is an American crisis, and they are expanding and intensifying it in every which way, in ways that anybody can see is upside down and wrong. So they're obviously trying to drive us. Now, are they trying to drive us into the next January 6th to bring a new crackdown, to suspend election, to bring in a new pandemic, to lock us down with fires? I mean, it really feels like there's a lot of manipulation and electricity in the air, and none of it is really what we see at the face value. You know, it's really hard, but it's, you always have to kind of think, well, they know, I mean, obviously we can all go one step ahead. Where is that supposed to go? And what are they hoping or pushing for? So it's very nefarious. I think you have to sort of really understand that to try to game it out, you have to really think in a dark way.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because these are very dark people. Yeah, it's very, very demonic, very dark, very twisted. None of it is none of it is what we thought we had,
no.
Right? This is not what we thought we had.
Not at all. Not at all. Diana, where can the listeners follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books, including The Red Thread and American Betrayal?
Well, at my website, dianawest.net. I also am at a Patreon channel at Diana West and at Real Diana West on Gab. So that's where I am.
Okay. And as always, I will have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on air button, and right under the show description, you find all the links and info you need to follow Diana's work. Thanks so much, Diana, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Audrey. Amen.
Yeah.